past few weeks would be aware that we're doing a series called Shape to Make a Difference, and we have been talking about the fact, or asking us, we're using an acrostic called Shape that points us towards five things that God has uniquely given to each of us that lead us towards an area that we're best equipped to work and to serve. So it helps us answer questions like, what are we spiritually gifted to do? What does my heart beat passionately for? What are my natural abilities? Where does my personality fit the best? And what are my experiences? A couple of weeks ago, we gave out a spiritual gift survey, which I know many of you have taken. We gave out a few more last week, and I've received back some answers to those, which has been great to look at your spiritual gifts and to discuss those. And it's really good to see people responding and making use of that tool. So I would love to get your top three spiritual gifts from that survey from every person here. Like, we'll record them in our database, and that's going to help us as a church leadership to guide you and to direct you and to seek you out in terms of service here in the church. So I encourage you to do that. Last week we talked about following your heart. I gave you some questions to reflect upon. And this week we're looking at using your abilities. Now, this might seem a bit more mundane, but this is something equally as exciting. How your abilities are God-given and then God-required. And I know some of you are going to be struggling with two questions right at this starting point. Firstly, I don't have any ability. And then secondly, how could God possibly be interested in this ability? There are two questions or two statements that I know are going to be on everyone's mind. But we want to confront that and start by understanding our abilities and looking at this scripture where God says God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. And you know, I reckon I could leave that scripture up there on the screen, that we could all just look at it for half an hour, and that God could speak into your heart, firstly confront those two statements that I just mentioned, and that he could even talk to you about your abilities right now, just through reading that scripture. Because that scripture says that God has given each of us, that's all of us, God has given, is that me bumping? Is it my jacket? Why don't I try this? Let's try this first. It's all right, I'll only take my jacket off. Do you know that 5 days ago, 1 year ago, I was inducted as the lead pastor of this church and I wore these clothes? Why am I wearing them today? I just felt it was something to do. What's that relevant to our sermon? I don't know. But anyway, it's out of now. Maybe this will stop bumping around a little bit more and be okay. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Now, that confronts two things for you. Firstly, when you say, I don't have any ability to offer God or the church or anyone, on the authority of God's word, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Secondly, when you say to me, Pastor, I can't do anything well, on the authority of God's word, I'm telling you, you're wrong. It's there on the screen. It's in the book of Romans. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So that's our starting point here today, and that opens up for every single person sitting here in church today the possibility, in fact the certainty, that you have something, you have some God-given ability that you do well, that you are able to offer back to, dare I say, the world, certainly the church, and indeed to your community, your family and friends, and to God. There's something there. Now, you may be a person who already knows what that thing is. You may have discovered it. We have had people serving already today that clearly are able to do some things well. So, but you might also be a person that just has no idea. So we want to confront, we want to allow today for the idea that you are going to discover what it is that is that thing that you would do well that God has given to you. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to give you something to reflect on what that's going to be before the end of the service, and you can have that question. The problem is often we are more aware of what we're not good at than what we're good at. It's easy for us to look around at all the talents around us and say, I can't do that, I can't do that. However, studies have shown that the average human being has from 500 to 800 abilities. 500 to, so when they've looked at human behaviour, human motion, Dave, it's time for your solution now. Okay. Just keep looking at the screen. Just be careful back there, big boy. You right? Do you reckon that worked? It seems so good. Is it that or is it this? Do you want me to go to handheld and that'll take all the drama out of it? Let's do that. You close that. I'll speak on that. Okay. Human beings, just even by being born, in order to function through life, you immediately have hundreds of abilities, most of which you probably never thought about, never even aware of, and maybe don't even consider can be employed in the service of God. But part of my job as your pastor is to start to get you to think about those abilities, perhaps even to discover some of them, and then to surrender them and employ them in the service of God. So often in our systems today, we only test one type of intelligence, but it seems fairly certain that there are 8 to 9 different types of intelligence. So people often learn differently and they're good at different things and they're not good at everything. So we want to create that conversation and start to allow you to think about how God might have equipped you. Why is this important? Let me tell you a great little story called The Animal School that's going to help you understand what this is about. Once upon a time, right after creation, all the animals formed a school. They established a well-rounded curriculum of swimming, running, climbing, and flying. All the animals were required to take all the courses. The duck excelled at swimming. In fact, he was better than the instructor. However, he only made passing grades in climbing and was very poor in running. He was so slow, he had to stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to become so badly worn that he became only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so no one ever worried about it, except for the duck. The rabbit was top of her class at running, but after a while she developed a twitch in her leg from all the time she spent in the water trying to improve her swimming. The monkey was a peak performer in climbing, but he was constantly frustrated in flying class. His body became so worn from all the hard landings that he didn't do too well in climbing, and he ended up being pretty poor in running. The eagle was a continual problem student. She was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing class, she would always beat everyone to the top of the tree, but insisted on using her own way to get there. Each of the animals had a particular design. When they did what they were designed to do, they excelled. But when they tried to operate outside of their area of expertise, they were not nearly as effective and their excelled area started to suffer. Can ducks run? Sure they can. Is it what they are best at? No. Given the limited time that each of us has, doesn't it make more sense to serve in an area where we are best equipped? Ducks can run and run hard, but they are slow and they get tired quickly. People in ministry can be like that. Like a duck out of water, we can serve outside our area of giftedness. We can do it, but it's not what we do best. And this is why knowing your shape is important. It enables you to do your best with enthusiasm and effectiveness. So it's not that we don't do jobs in serving in church that it might be considered mundane or ordinary. You remember I've given us a picture before of serving in one area as a church where we are gifted and serving in one area where we are needed. And if everyone here at church did that, friends, we would have no issue whatsoever in terms of getting everything done that needed to be done. If all of us did one area of our gifting, in fact, we'd just be alive and it'd be sensational. So I know some of you and many of you are doing that already, but some of you may need to move to an area of giftedness and some of you may need to just get on the bike and start trying these things out to discover where these abilities might be required of God. Your abilities are the map to God's will for your life. Now, some of you listening think, oh, no, surely God needs to appear to me with a scroll in his hand with his will for my life written down and then deliver it to me on parchment.
But friends, the things that you are good at are a flag already to how God has made you and equipped you to serve his purposes. Why would you withhold the things that you are very best at from him in serving him and his purposes? Check out this verse. God will equip you with all you need for doing his will. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it seems to happen a lot to me. I often come across times where I think, Lord, I want to pray this prayer. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm not sure if I'm that good a pastor. I really can't. I just want to tell God how I can't do it. But God stands in his word and says back to me, and sorry, folks, to every one of you here, that he will equip you, not ambiguous at all, he will equip you for doing his will. So friends, he's not only given you something that you can do well, he's also going to equip you for doing his will. You're in the pincer movement, folks. You are literally in a headlock, but God's not. God's gentle. So we just can't say, no, it can't be, because God has said it is and it will be. So it doesn't say here that you can have any ability you like. It does say that God has given you an ability for a purpose. And our shape is a key area to looking into that area. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, these abilities, are you really sure God's interested in them? Because they feel pretty mundane to me. I know I can do a couple of things. They seem to go all right for me at work. I do this here and there. But really, is he that interested? Well, Pastor Rick Warren has made a list of the abilities taken from the Bible that God uses for his will in the world and that he gets honour from. I've got the list here. Would you like me to read it? Okay, check this out. This is from the scriptures. Athletic ability, artistic ability, architectural ability, administering, baking, boat building. That was Noah. Debating, designing, embalming, embroidering, engraving, farming, fishing, gardening, poetic ability, leading, managing, masonry, moulding, musical, making weapons, needlework, painting, planning, philosophising, machining, inventing, carpentry, sailing, selling, soldering, tailing, teaching, tent making, and writing. That's just a quick grab bag of abilities that are mentioned in the scripture that were used by God to employ his purposes. One of the most encouraging scriptures in the Bible for me is when God describes the gentleman that he's anointed and filled with his spirit in order to build the temple. So those who are given craft skills, they were carpenters and artisans, God says they can do that because I have filled them with my Holy Spirit. They have the anointing of God to do something practical. So the idea that the anointing of God only rests on the pastor when he preaches and is absent from the rest of our lives as Christians in the church is unbiblical. The things that you so far have thought of only doing to make a living or because something needs to get done are actually God-given abilities that he will anoint for his purposes in the world and in the church. Have you ever thought about your skills in that way? So often we haven't. So often we put them to one side. So some abilities we're ashamed of. Some abilities we think, how could God possibly be interested? But I want to challenge you with this statement. My abilities match my call. Have you ever thought of that? Write that down if you're taking notes. My abilities match my call. Because so often we're thinking, surely the call of God is around the other side of the world, in the middle of Botswana, miles away. I'm going to be hopeless. That's got to be spiritual. I'm got to be not very good at it. That's surely where God's will rests for me. How could it possibly be connected with what I'm good at here? Surely God wants me to look like a dunce so he looks fantastic when he comes and rescues everything. Well, friends, it doesn't quite happen like that, and it doesn't actually say that in the scriptures, that God has equipped us and built us in a certain way for ministry. So you are called into ministry. You have a call on your life not just the pastor. You have been called firstly to serve, to salvation, and then to service. You have a calling, you have a vocation, you have a life message, a life mission, and a goal and a purpose. So now that we know those things, how are we going to respond to them? What are we supposed to do with our abilities? I'm going to give you some help discerning your abilities in a moment. But firstly, we want to look at these challenges about how we are to use our abilities. Our abilities are to be used firstly to honour God. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. As I've just explained, God can use any ability for his glory. Any ability. We can honour God by repairing cars, balancing books, selling homes, or making meals. Now, sometimes you might be thinking, is that really possible? Friends, when you think about the things that are done in our world that allow it to function, do you think God wants them done well or not? I mean, just think about that for a minute. When someone's preparing a meal, does it honour God for that to be done well, or is he not interested? Does it matter if it is full of salmonella and kills the family, or is it better that it's tasty and healthy? Are you working with me on this, folks, or is anyone here? Okay, are you getting what I'm trying to say about this? So those skills that you thought God wasn't interested in, he's actually interested in. He's interested how policemen do their job. He's interested how politicians do their job. He's interested how people who manage money do their job. And he's interested when a home is built, do you think God wants it built well, or does it matter if it just falls over after 5 years and kills everyone in it? You hearing me on this? So what I'm saying is that the doing of things is absolutely possible for God to be honoured through that process by it being done well. So don't you dare ever dismiss anything that you're doing as being uninterested and uninformed, not interested by God, but in fact he's absolutely committed to those things being done to his glory and to being done well. Managingly, whatever you like, it has to be done well. So we can honour God by doing it well through the use of our abilities. Secondly, to serve others. It says in 1 Peter that God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help other people, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessing them. So does that say, be sure to use your abilities to make a ton of money? Does it say that? No, it doesn't. Our abilities are to be used to help others and to pass on to them God's many kind of blessings. So often today in the society that we live, the emphasis, your skills are for you to become an economic unit of production to maximise your output in the economy and to make yourself as rich as you can go. That's the mantra that you're getting every day, I want to suggest, from the media and from society. And at the moment, I'm speaking and preaching another one over you. That your abilities actually are for a different purpose than that one that you might have thought. They're actually for the benefit of others, for the glory of God, and for the well-being and positiveness, if you like, of society and of the church. So understand that and make that differentiation. We are to use our abilities to help each other. No one is good at everything, so you need me and I need you. No one has every talent. Everyone needs each other. The person who says that doesn't need everyone else doesn't realise how needy they are. That's why we need a small group. That's why we need a church family. That's why we need a family. That's why we need a team. It's not just about one or two, but it's about groups serving together. The key to success occurs when we build on our strengths so that our weaknesses become irrelevant. And you heard me use the example the other week of Usain Bolt running. No one went up to him and said, why aren't you so good at high jump? No one's having that conversation with him. Now, I'm not talking about areas where he might need to improve in terms of his morality. I mean, I'm not saying that gives him a license to do anything he wants for the rest of his life. I'm talking about strengths and weaknesses, okay? So he's maximising a strength of his at the moment. Here's another key. Team up with people that you are good at, that who are good at what you are not good at. And friends, no one is more aware of that than me. I give thanks when I look at our ministry team with Sam and Megan and the things that they're good at. And I think, I'm really glad they're good at those things because I'm not. I look at our leadership team and think the same thing. I look at our department leaders in this church and our small group leaders and I think God has built a church where people have a range of abilities and skills that complement each other and quite frankly help me out. And you might suggest that one of the purposes of marriage is where we complement each other's strengths and compensate for each other's weaknesses. Not a lot of people would think of marriage in those terms. Instead, sometimes we covet the other's strengths and criticise their weaknesses. But that's not what it's about. So that's what it means to serve others as well as to honour God. Third, to make a living. Now, this is going to be something that perhaps you're familiar with, but you never thought that's actually one of the reasons God gave you your ability. God says, I've given your abilities to make a living. I want you to be self-supporting. If you can work, you should work. That I've given you these abilities not only for a purpose in terms of serving me, but also in order to help you survive. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Had it ever occurred to you, church, that producing wealth was an ability? Had it ever occurred that it was a God-given ability? Well, it says it there in Deuteronomy 8 that it is. Is it possible to make money to the glory of God? Well, I want to suggest that it is. Some of you have been given this ability more than others. It's not one that I have personally ever excelled at. So I need others around me who are good at looking after money, like my wife and my other members of my leadership team. I love the thought that money should be spent and divested of. It should be doing something, and if it sits around for too long, it needs to be dealt with. So that's my view on things. But hey, it is possible to make money to the glory of God, to use that ability and to fund projects not only here at the Hills Christian Family Centre but beyond. So that's another reason, another thing to do with our abilities. Four, to be an example to others, to be a witness to others. It says in 1 Timothy, put these abilities to work, throw yourself into your tasks so everyone may notice your improvement and your progress. God wants other people to notice your good work, to notice your improvement, and to notice your progress. God says, it makes me look good as your heavenly Father. I want people to know that God's children are the best workers on the planet, that there's movement and progress in their life. So as we use our abilities, as we strengthen them and maximise them, we become an example to others and an encouragement and a glorification to God. Fifthly, we are to have money to share. It's another thing that we do with our abilities. Ephesians chapter 4 says, begin using your hands for honest work and then give generously to others in need. At some point, we have to decide in life when enough is enough and we have to start sharing the rest. At some point, we have to say we've reached that point where we are, if you like, sustained at a particular level, but the extra money that we are earning or that we have gathered is enough. Materialism is when we haven't learned to live within our income. We always have to have a little bit more. And sometimes we might be barely surviving on an income that we once dreamed of having because our expenses tend to go up along with our income. But at some point, we've got to say, I've got enough, I'm happy. And the question then is, what do we do? Well, if you look into society's values, it would say back to you, well, stop working. Put your feet up. Fantastic. Take the rest of your life off because you've got enough. But actually, God wants to say something different to us and say, now you have the opportunity and the potential to continue working in order to give it away. And that is a wonderful, blessed place to be. It says in Deuteronomy 15, give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle money matters. The way you handle matters like this triggers God, your God's blessing in everything you do, all your work and ventures. There are always going to be poor and needy people among you, so I command you, always be generous, open purse and hands, give to your neighbours in trouble, your poor and your hurting neighbours. Last night, because I'm going to be away for Father's Day, I invited my dad to dinner with Jude and I and my two children. We went to one of our favourites, the Estia Greek restaurant down at Henley Square. And we had a fantastic meal, and my dad was really touched to be together. And the end of the meal came, and I was thinking already, okay, so what do I pay for my dad? Do my kids pay for me? How are we going to actually do this tonight? And, you know, I felt in my heart, I'm just going to pay for this meal, and I just love it because I love the fact my dad's with me, that my kids are with me, my wife's with me. And, you know, I just went straight up. We didn't even talk about it, and I just paid for the whole lot. And, you know, I gave thanks to God that I had the money in my account. There was no issue. I was able to be generous, and I just loved it. And, folks, God gives us, every time we get paid, God puts into our hand a trust, an opportunity. And, you know, it's a test. Because you can understand, and I know through experience, think about all the ways that we can misuse and abuse that money that's given into our hand. Each week we get paid, each fortnight. The potential is enormous. We're beset by opportunities to gamble it and try and get more these days. You can't watch television for 5 minutes without bet here, do this, do that. But, you know, it also becomes an opportunity to say, okay, we've paid our bills this week, so what's going to happen with this here? How's that going to outwork? We're going to spend it on ourselves, or is it an opportunity, in fact, to say, hey, we're going to be generous to you. I want to express my appreciation of you. And that can be done in so many different ways. So I just want to encourage you with that using our abilities to make money, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's one of the commissions God has given you to do that, to firstly support yourself, but then to bless other people. It's just that we've got to make sure that that remains the focus. So the sixth thing that we do with our abilities is to build up the church. And it says in Ephesians 4, why is it that God gives us these special abilities to do certain things? Remember that scripture earlier that said that he did, that each of us has got one. Now the rhetorical question is asked in Ephesians 4, why? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. Now, have you ever thought about the fact that your abilities have been given to you in order to help your church family? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, the abilities I use at work, they're no use in the church. Well, your church has a workplace to start with. It employs three people. So there's a similarity already. There's a bit of synergy going on there. I want to just say that that's absolutely not true. In fact, when you think about the expression of ministry and activity that happens in this church body alone, we've heard from Sam about the youth ministry, Megan's ministry. I mean, all of the things that we do across the week, I mean, there are hundreds of abilities required to not only make that happen, but then to cause it to flourish. So the ability that you've been given that you think maybe is of no use or no interest in the church setting, I want to confront that and say that that's absolutely not true. That you have a responsibility to release that ability some way into your church family. And I know many of you do that already. It's fantastic. But some of you haven't thought about it, or some of you might be holding back, or some of you might be fearful or resisting, or maybe the focus of your ability is not where it should be, that it's all about building up your kingdom and your situation, when in fact you should release it into the good of others and into the good of God's kingdom. And Jesus gives us a challenge when we reach this place where we don't use talents, he then said once to the servant that hid his talent, take the talent from him who didn't use it and give it to the one who has 10 talents. So the use of what we've got is actually a God-given mandate. It has to be done well, and it has to be done according to God's plan. So all of us have unused abilities. Let's look quickly as we move towards the end about what we're going to do about it and how we're going to respond. Part two is using your abilities, and this is now a discovery process for how we're going to go that. And Judy's got something that she's going to get ready to give out soon. Is that right, Jude? We are going to help you with this. But firstly, I want to talk about this process. Have you ever conducted a stock take or an inventory or an examination of your abilities? Okay, Richard's nodding his head. I'm going to put my hand up. Anyone else want to join us? Has anyone here ever done that? Michael Chant up the back's got his hand up. There's a few. Some of you maybe don't want to admit to it. Some of you think it's a bit weird. Why would I ever look at what I'm good at? Surely that's narcissistic, self-centered, arrogant, overconfident. No, I'd rather focus on what I'm hopeless at. Richard? Whenever you do a job resume, that's right. So when you apply for a job, you are going through a process of telling your future employer what I am good at. So surely you must have some understanding at that level of what it's doing. But when it comes to thinking about how you're going to serve God, the idea of doing that for him, you're not so sure. Well, I don't see what the difference is, to be honest. So it says in Romans 12, try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given you. At some stage, you're going to have to come to grips with what you are good at in order to serve God according to your shape. Because if you've got no idea, you won't know where to direct your energies and your availability. You won't know what to say yes to when the church is looking for people to serve in a particular way and what to say no to. You've got to come to grips with your abilities. You can't just say, I don't have any, or I don't think about that because it's not humble. That's not going to cut it. You have to be aware of it so that you can surrender it and serve the church with your abilities. Now, I did something 8 years ago which has still resonates in my life today, and I'm going to share it with you today because you might want to pick it up and take a look at it yourself. I did the Strengths Finder test. Has anyone ever heard of Strengths Finder? Okay, excellent. There's a few of you. Strengths Finder is a book that comes out of a university in the States where an entire department was committed to categorizing the strengths of human beings. So it's not a Christian endeavor, but I want to suggest it's a godly one, because they looked at basically human behavior and said we would assess these categories of things that humans do well. I think they came up with 48, so they didn't go down to the minutiae of the 500 to the 800. And then they came up with a survey where people could carry that out and they could identify their strengths. The whole theory of it is based on serving in the area of your strengths maximises your chances of doing it well and enjoying it. I mean, who doesn't want to serve or live or work like that? So they did that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to actually fill this out. I bought the book, did the survey, and what it came back with absolutely just... I couldn't believe how it was speaking to me. God was speaking to me through it about my very role as a pastor and as a communicator of God's word. I've actually got the report up here, and it comes back with 5 strengths. And when you read through these, even when I read them the other day, I started to get emotional about it because I really felt God saying to me, this is who I've made you to be. Communication came out first. Find it easy to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. I've told you before, I like to talk. I'm doing it now. It seems to work all right for me. Second was maximizer. Focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb. You know, when I look at the Hills Christian Family Centre, I think that's a great strength for me to have. Because I think this is a strong church that I'm believing for and seeing a superb one in Jesus' name. You know, so that just gets me. It's got me going again. Woo! Love the challenge of meeting new people and winning them over. They derive satisfaction from breaking the ice and making a connection with the other person. Do you think that's helpful for a pastor to have that one? It's actually good for a number of people, a number of areas, but I'm pretty glad I'm strong in it. Judy often says you would talk to anyone, Dave. I mean, I can be someone's best friend within a few minutes because I want to hear what they're up to. That's fantastic. How are you going? No problems at all. So that's another one. The other two, includer, are accepting of others. They show awareness of those who feel left out and make an effort to include them. And then connected this, have faith in the links between all things. They believe there are few coincidences and almost every event has a reason. This is a secular program, but acknowledging that as a strength has popped up in their study of human beings. Very interesting, isn't it? That would be in there and that came out for me. Now, I'm showing you that so you can say, okay, that looks pretty good for him. But maybe I want to ask the possibility about whether you think you should do something like that and whether God is going to speak to you through it about how you can be serving him and his purposes in the church and in the world. And maybe you've never thought of this. You thought, how can I do that? Well, give him a go. I don't know how much the book is. It's only about $20 or something. You get a little code, you do the survey online, it spits out the reports. That's mine from 8 years ago. It's still speaking to me today about the way that I serve God and his purposes. Just saying. Now, you might not be interested in books and websites and whatever. So, Judy's going to give you now a list of 50 abilities where you can do your own little survey for free and come up with something. Margaret, thank you for helping out. And look, I'm just going to give this to spark your thinking, to start you thinking. This is for people who think I'm not good at anything or I don't know what I'm good at. Take a look at this list and start to think about how God might have strengthened and equipped you and given you abilities to serve him and his purposes in the world and beyond. Now, while that's being given out, I'm just going to keep going to round us out here today. Secondly, when it comes to using our abilities, we dedicate them. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. If you stay away from sin, Christ himself can use you for his highest purposes. You can use your God-given abilities for evil. I guess this is not news. You can be a really good organizer and you can organize a rescue. Or you can organise a robbery. Did you know this? Like, there are people in organised crime who are pretty clever. But they're not very good people at the moment. They need help. So, friends, your skills need to be dedicated to God, not to be employed for evil or malicious or selfish purposes. So we dedicate our skills. Then, secondly, we cultivate them. It says in Ecclesiastes 10... if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. In the year of 2008, when I did the StrengthsFinder survey, it came back with those suggestions. God really laid it upon my heart to go to Table College and study theology so that I could become the best preacher of God's word that I could be. Now, folks, that decision sounds wonderful and exciting, but I tell you what, it required a lot of reorganisation for the Blands. We sold our home. I went down to 2 days a week at the Christian Family Centre at Seton. We've been renting ever since. It's been a very interesting time of decision. But I felt that skill that God had given me as a communicator needed to be maximised. I needed to understand God's word as best as possible in order to maximise that strength and surrender it to God's purpose. And I want to leave you as we close here today by asking you the question, firstly, are you aware of your abilities? Two, do you believe that you've got any? 3, have you ever thought that your abilities might be of interest to God, might be given by God, and that he might be calling you in order to serve his purposes through those abilities? Maybe up until now, you just haven't given it a thought. You haven't ever thought that what you were good at could be required of God in order to serve him and his purposes. Maybe you need to spend some time examining your strengths, looking at your abilities, and then asking God the question, how would you like me to serve you and use me through these purposes? Friends, this has got a reason to it. This has got a purpose. God, you're only good at something because of the creative grace of God. God gave you ability to do that. God gave you the ability to excel at that. But friends, how's it being used for his glory? How's it being used for the benefit of others? How's it being used to build up the church? What is God saying to you even now about those abilities? Yes, it might require a risk. It might require a change. It might require a bit of effort. It might require some expenditure. It might require something of you that you haven't thought of giving. But friends, I want to suggest through personal experience that when you move in that direction, you move into the flow of God's Spirit in a way that you have never, ever experienced before. And I'll never, ever regret going through that process ourselves to stand in front of you today and now declare the possibility for you, to declare the possibility that God might be calling you into a different space, into a different trail, onto a different path, all because of what you are good at. Does that sound okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you, Lord, have given us things according to your word that we are good at doing. And Lord, we accept and agree that our first requirement, the first thing required of us, is to say yes to Jesus. That we cannot surrender these skills and these abilities to you unless we first surrender to Jesus, that he is the beginning and the end of everything that we have and everything that is required of us. Lord, I thank you for the people in this church who have said yes to you, the people sitting here today who are your followers. And Lord, I pray that now as they reflect and think, as they either do StrengthsFinder or fill out this form, even now as they may be sitting and listening, that you speak to them about the things that you've equipped them to do. That you speak to them about the things that they are good at doing. And that in some way, Lord, you draw them into your will, into your ways, into your pathway, Lord, and say, I have set this within you so that you can serve me. Father, I also pray for those in this place today that have not yet said yes to Jesus, that haven't yet said, I'm following you, but they're hearing of this idea that you've made them in a particular way to serve your purposes. And Lord, I pray that as they sit and listen now, they would be confronted by your grace, they would be confronted by your kindness, that they would be drawn into saying, yes, it's God's way and not my way. It's the way of Jesus, because this is the way that I was meant to go. Lord, I pray that they might make that decision. I pray that they would say yes to you. In fact, Lord, I'm going to give them an opportunity right now. Even as we pray right now, if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, you can pray to him. You don't have to do it out loud, but you can pray in your heart to Jesus right now. You can say something like this. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I know that I've been going my own way, but now I want to go your way. Thank you for giving me things and abilities that I can offer to you, including my life. I now surrender these to you and your purpose, and I'm going to walk in your footsteps from today forevermore. In your name I pray, Amen. Folks, we're going to wrap up our service, if that's okay, Sam. I thought we've gone over time, so I was just going to call it quits there. Is that okay? And folks, I really just want to leave you before today. If you prayed that prayer and you said yes to Jesus for the first time, or you want to know more about what that looks like, I just want to encourage you to come and talk to me about that after the service. I can give you something to read. I can talk to you more about that. But saying yes to Jesus is the greatest thing you will ever do in your life. The rest of your life from there is fantastic as it flows out of that decision to say yes to Jesus. So I just want to encourage you with that here this morning. For the rest of you, you've got a survey in your hand. You've got a website address. I would love you to go through that process of finding out your top three abilities or more. And again, along with your spiritual gifts in your heart, I want to hear about them. My email address is in the church newsletter. It's easy just to whack them on there and to send them in. We will keep a record of them. I'd like to catch up with you about that at some stage. I just think God can really start a groundswell in this church of people serving according to their shape that will revolutionize it and your life at the same time. All right? So we're going to close our service now. Thank you for coming this morning.